You know, I have said it before, and I'm going to say it again, that one of my favorite things about this church is the different voices that we get to hear from this stage. That every Sunday morning, we get to hear from a variety of people. And I've said before, that we don't do a whole lot of meeting to coordinate what we're saying, between the different speakers. Whether that's the invocation or the children's sermon, prayers of the people, whatever that might be. But the Holy Spirit is always moving, powerfully in our midst. And it just amazes me at how much overlap there is. We are picking back up this morning in our sermon, our series on the Sermon on the Mount, specifically the Beatitudes. We are drawing close to the end of the Beatitudes, but certainly not the Sermon on the Mount. So I'm going to be picking up in chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 2 through 10. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, speak to us. Help us to hear your quiet whispers and at times your loud cries. That you try and try and try and try again to get our attention. Help us to listen. Help us to listen in a way that creates change. Snap us out of these lives that we lead. Remind us that we are to be in this world, but not of it. Help us to be change makers. Help us to know and accept that you are God who loves us. Help us to share that love with the world around us. Father, I am just so very thankful for the way that you move and work. May we never forget how gracious of a God you are. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So we have been walking through this series on the Beatitudes, really underneath the idea that this is a really good guide or framework for us as Christians, the Beatitudes. But also, that this is just a really good framework for us to love our neighbors. And that's been our emphasis throughout this series on how we can love our neighbors, the people that we are in community with, whether that is where we are living or maybe where we are working or where we are going to church, that we all exist in these kind of different neighborhoods. And how can we love our neighbors in the midst of that? We've talked about how the Beatitudes are in many ways counter-cultural. They go against the flow of the culture around us, and at times they're even counterintuitive. They don't seem to make sense, and they don't seem to make sense because we're living in this world that lives opposite of the Beatitudes and the kingdom of God. Throughout this series, we've talked about how the Beatitudes are this pathway in which God is working and moving in our lives, where He is changing our hearts, He's changing our direction, and He's changing our message. And so throughout each beatitude that we've hit, it's always been with some measure of discomfort. These things are not easy. It doesn't seem like that's the way everyone else is doing things. It just seems maybe at odds with things. Today's beatitude is no different. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, he said that becoming a Christian, he said, is the bid to come and die. The bid to come and die. You know, there is this common perception that once you begin to follow after Jesus, that everything is going to be, you know, butterflies and rainbows, and it's going to be great in this wonderful life. And on one hand, yeah, that is true. That is the promise of that life. That is the promise of that to come. But really, also, Jesus, He promised us time and time again, this life is going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. And here He's saying, you will be persecuted. And spoiler alert, we're going to talk about this again next week, because this is the only beatitude that appears twice. Blessed are you when people persecute you. Jesus is sharing this with us because He wants us to be prepared. He's saying, I was persecuted. Jesus, even before His death, leading up throughout His life, He faced the opposition, the persecution, not only of the people, but of the religious leaders. Even His own disciples denied Him. Jesus knew what persecution looked like. And He said, if you're following me, if you're following me the way that you are supposed to follow me, then you will know persecution too. And so He wants us to be prepared. Persecution is an attempt to displace and drive out the presence of Christ's kingdom through these hostile and adversarial actions. And it comes in lots of different forms. Persecution comes in lots of different forms. I think for many of us, when we think of persecuted Christians, we think of like physical violence happening against them. And certainly that happens in our world. We hear about that happening, you know, in other countries or in rare instances here in the United States where people have physical harm done to them because of their faith. But the reality is, I think most of us don't wake up in the morning thinking that I am going to be attacked or beaten because I am a Christian. It's just not a reality that we face. We understand that maybe that's a possibility. We live in a world where that's full of, you know, just crazy things that happen. But more likely, we go throughout our days wondering, am I going to have to hide a portion of who I am today? Because of the response that I might get from the people around me. Yeah, I remember a time in my life where I was traveling more frequently. I would fly often, and I can remember sitting there on the plane thinking, I hope the person sitting next to me doesn't ask what I do for a living. Because if they ask me what I do for a living, I'm going to have to tell them. And then I'm going to have to sit there awkwardly while they don't talk to me for the rest of the flight. You know, I've been on the playground playing with my kids, and we frequently go to the playground right across the street from our house, the Garfield Playground. And throughout that, I interact with other parents, and I work up conversations with them. And at some point, it usually comes out that I am a pastor of a church right down the street. And there has been several times where after that interaction, those parents don't come to that playground anymore. And so the persecution that we frequently face as Christians here in the United States of America is not this maybe outright physical aggression, but we're kind of pushed to the side. Or we're made to feel like we don't quite belong. Maybe it's those conversations happening in the workroom where the people, they don't know if they should include you or not, because, you know, they're talking about maybe having drinks this evening and they don't want to offend, you know, the Christian in the room. And so the persecution that we face is not where we're in danger, but we're made to kind of feel like we just don't quite belong. Or maybe you have those neighbors who are a little bit more outspoken about what they think of those Christians. A little bit more outspoken about how hypocritical that they are. I can't believe that they would believe something as silly and foolish as that. So persecution comes in all of these different forms. But Jesus, he reminds us, he says, the reason in which you should be persecuted as a Christian is because of righteousness and because of me. Because of righteousness and because of me. That you look different from the world because you're following after Jesus. And so this idea of being persecuted is an idea that we're supposed to come to terms with. Doesn't necessarily make it easier, though. Knowing you're going to get bullied at school doesn't make it easier to go to school. But Jesus is saying, as you enter into the world, remember who the enemy really is. That as our neighbors, our flesh and blood neighbors, might be persecuting us, they're not really the enemy. We're reminded over and over again that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the dark powers in this world. You know, it's not our neighbors who are the enemy, but rather it is the devil who is whispering in their ear. And we know that voice. We've heard that voice. You know, we've heard those, are you sure you're good enough? Are you sure people really like you? Oh, come on, it won't hurt if you just do it one more time. Oh, you've heard that before, those lies. We all know what that voice sounds like. Persistent voice of the devil. And our neighbors know it well too. And so when we engage with our neighbors and they're persecuting us, we have to remember that it's not our neighbors that are the enemy. It's the devil that is tempting and twisting and prodding and poking and leading them. And we're not fighting against our neighbors, we're fighting against God. And we have to remember that our neighbors are created in the image of the living God. That they are created as reflections of Him. And so we look beyond that persecution, we look beyond that ugliness, we look beyond those whispers. And we look for the reflection of the living God and the neighbors around us, and we treat them as such. We treat them as reflections of that God. That, yeah, on the surface, they might be full of all sorts of ugly words and actions. But underneath that all is that reflection of the God who loves them, and the God who loves you. You know, if we're doing things right, we're supposed to look different, right, from the world around us. And it's usually different that gets picked on. You know, I remember times in school, you know, we're thinking like, I don't want to be special. I just don't want to be weird anymore. I remember thinking, like, I don't want to be special. I just don't want to be weird. I've been weird all of my life. It took me a long time to embrace my weirdness. But I think we all have moments like if I could just blend in. If I could just blend in. You know, status quo. I wouldn't have to worry about this persecution. But Jesus says, no. You're to look different. You're supposed to look weird. Embrace it. McKinney writes, he says, in self-sufficient neighborhoods, we're called to be poor in spirit. In numbed out neighborhoods, we're called to mourn. In me first neighborhoods, we're called to meekness. In soul-starved neighborhoods, we're called to righteousness. In karma-driven neighborhoods, we're called to mercy. In hypocritical neighborhoods, we're called to be pure in spirit. In contentious neighborhoods, we're called to make peace. In case you didn't catch it, those are the first seven Beatitudes that we've taken a look at. And really what McKinney is getting at is that it's these first seven Beatitudes that as we begin to live them out are preparing us for what it looks like to be persecuted and how to endure and really to thrive in the midst of persecution. Earlier this morning, Sarah was talking about Paul. She talked about Paul and the lowest point of his life being on that Damascus road. And it's Paul's a really good example of the way that our God moves and works, is he not? That he started off as Saul. For those of you who may not know, Saul was a Pharisee, religious elite. He was a high-ranking Pharisee. He knew the Scripture. He knew the Word of God. He was devout in his Jewish practices. He was well known for his devout faith. And his devout faith, his devout Jewish faith, motivated him then to persecute Christians who he saw as being, like, wrong. He persecuted them to the point of imprisoning and death. He was good at persecuting Christians. And then as Sarah reminded us, that we learn that as Saul is traveling, that he's met by the Spirit of Jesus on the road, and Jesus says, it's me you're persecuting. And Saul becomes Paul, and Paul becomes one of the greatest missionaries and writers of Scripture that we know. And so we have this story of this dramatic change where Saul's heart was changed, his direction was changed, his message was changed, his whole life was changed. Some of you might have neighbors that look a lot like Saul. They're pretty antagonistic. They like to say derogatory things. And we have to remember that if God can change Saul to Paul, that he can change your neighbor too. And it's really easy at times to get caught up into, like, having feelings about them being Saul's, reciprocating some of that anger. You know, or thinking, well, I'm not going to say mean things to their face, but I'm certainly not going to talk nice about them at my dinner table. Jesus is calling us to more than that. He's calling us to a place where we are willing to speak more of our neighbors, regardless of the persecution that we might face. Jesus is inviting us back to that image idea that when we speak of those neighbors that persecute us, we speak far less about that persecution and far more about how they look like Jesus. That we look for ways in which we can see our Creator reflected in them. it's really hard. It is really hard to be nice to somebody when they're being mean to you. It is. Whether it's on the playground, in your marriage, with your neighbors, whoever. When one person is grumpy, it's really easy for both people to be grumpy. But Jesus calls us to more. And he says, he'll even plays along with that logic. Where if one person is grumpy, it's really easy for another person to be grumpy. But he says, don't forget this. I always love you. I always love you, says Jesus. You messed up 5 minutes ago. I still love you. You're going to mess up 5 minutes from now. Guess what? I'm still going to love you. And it's out of that knowledge, it's out of believing that, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, creator of the universe, loves you to the point that he was willing to be persecuted to death for you. And he says, because you are secure in my love, you're not going to lose it. There's nothing that you can do to lose it. If you could lose it, you already would have. He says, you're secure. I love you. Go out and share that love. And that when you're spending a little bit too much time maybe with those grumpy people and you get that temptation to be grumpy yourself, remember that I love you. Remember that I created them too. Remember that I would like them to be part of my family too. Go and live like it. The Beatitudes, on the surface, as we hear them, such a good idea. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Maybe. On one hand, we're thinking, man, that's really hard. Man, that really makes this. I thought this Christian thing was supposed to be easy. Open my Bible a couple times a week, pray, go to church on Sunday. I thought that's what, Following Jesus is a complete change. It's not just pretending. It's not just doing a few things differently. It is a complete transformation. But the good news is this. Each one of these Beatitudes comes with a blessing. And the ultimate blessing here is this, that as we live out these Beatitudes and we love our neighbors, he says we will be called his children, that we will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This world will not always look like this. This world will not always be full of the pain and the hurt and the anger that it is right now. There will be one day when we won't have to worry about our neighbors and what they think of us, because we'll be in a party with our neighbors celebrating Jesus. And so we know that what we endure right now is hard. It's the hardest job that maybe you'll ever have. But the reward is pretty great. Friends, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the midst of our weakness, give us strength. In the midst of those moments where we really don't like our neighbors, help us to see them how you see them. help us to find ways to love them. Help us to look more like you. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.